Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Grace Church. So good to see all of you here today. Those joining us on live stream and Facebook Live, welcome. Why don't you just look at someone nearby, give them a smile, tell them you're glad to see them at church on a Sunday morning. Amen. Amen. We have a great day today ahead of us, an exciting day. I'm looking forward to the service and looking forward to what God will do today before we leave. But first, let me just remind you of a couple of things. Don't forget Tuesday morning prayer this Tuesday at 10 o'clock right here in the sanctuary. And I am hearing tremendous reports coming from Tuesday morning prayer. God is moving. God is working. And we're seeing the results and the fruit of that prayer. Gentlemen, don't forget men's conference April 25th through 27th next weekend over on the campgrounds in Tioga. You'll be blessed if you're able to go. Make an effort to be there. And then on Sunday, May the 5th, 2 weeks from now, we will be honoring our graduates in the 11 o'clock service. So if you have a graduate or if you are graduating, please get that information to the church office ASAP. We want to honor you, and we're looking forward to that service. It's always a wonderful time celebrating with our graduates. One last announcement, ladies, remember the ladies' tea on May the 18th. That will be at the English Tea Room in Covington, Louisiana. And a tab has been set up on the church app for you to pay for that. The cost is $32.11. That's what it says on my notes. It's not $32.10, and it's not $32.12. It is $32.11 if you want to attend the ladies' tea. So make a note of that, and you can pay for that on the app. Amen. Stand with me if you will. We're getting ready to go into our worship set, but this morning we have a host of people who are going to be baptized in the name of Jesus while we're worshiping the Lord. Amen. Amen. So will you give it your all? Will you give God your worship today? Let's go to the throne today with our prayer.
Mansions bright and blessed. Holy name, Jesus. Oh. Jesus in the street, Jesus in the darkness over. Jesus in the street, Jesus in the darkness, hope for every enemy.
Jesus for my family,
Jesus for my family.
I speak
the holy name.
Oh,
Jesus.
Shout Jesus, Jesus.
Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the street, Jesus in.
Worship him just a little bit more. One more time, would you clap your hands? And let's shout to the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Baby,
thank you. The Dave Bunch just leaned over a few moments ago while these folks were being baptized, and he quoted just a part of the scripture that says that be not weary in well-doing, for in due season, he said, in due season, you'll reap if you faint not. I come to you today in the name of Jesus to tell you that we are entering into a season of revival and harvest, an outpouring of the Holy Ghost like we've not seen. I declare it in the name of Jesus. I declare it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to say today more specifically. There's people here today that's prayed prayers for years, and you've gone through times of discouragement, doubt, even unbelief, because the answer to that prayer seemed impossible and even beyond the reach of God. I come to you today in the name of Jesus and declare unto you, there's people here today that's about to see some prayers answered that you thought impossible. Going to manifest himself. He's going to show himself in the Holy Ghost. Be not weary in well doing, for in due season you'll reap if you faint not. Our custom, we welcome everybody here today. We welcome you with an open heart, with open arms. We want you to know, everyone that's here today, our guest here today, we're so thankful that you're here. And we pray today that our service is a blessing to you. Thank the Lord. I am so thankful. I am so thankful for the 9 people that were just baptized in the beautiful name of Jesus. Thank the Lord. And I have to report to you today that in baptizing this many people in one time, Sister Landry and I, Brother Dave, Brother Jason, we had to do some planning for the logistics of all of this, and we got it done. But I'm telling you, we're going to prepare to baptize 20 and 25 and 30 and 50 at a time. Whatever it takes. I believe that God is pouring out his spirit. Thank the Lord. And so for everyone that was baptized today, we want you to embark on a new relationship with Jesus. This isn't the end. It's not a death certificate. It's a birth certificate. It's being born again. It's part of that process. And for most that were baptized here today, the infilling of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues is the next step. And I would like to see every one of you folks, if you've not received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you experience that today for the first time. It will light up your life. I've never met anybody, not one person, in all of my years, not met one person that was ever disappointed with the Holy Ghost. Nobody, not one. There's something about the power of the Holy Ghost that is just simply magnificent. Amen. Today we want to recognize those that were baptized today as we do here at Grace Church. We celebrate this moment. We celebrate these times together. I'm not sure they're all back in. We're going to call all their names. And if you're back in the sanctuary, if you'd come forward, Brother Dave is going to pass you a baptismal certificate. What this just simply says, that you were baptized today in the name of Jesus here at Grace Church. And it's so that you can never forget this time, never forget this date that it happened. And I've talked to a lot of people that can't remember exactly when, where, how they were baptized. We want to give you a piece of paper that won't let you forget it. Thank the Lord. So, Araya Dew and Lakin, Colton, April, if y'all are in the building, come forward and receive your baptismal certificate. Thank the Lord. God bless you guys. This is wonderful. Amen. Thank the Lord. Isn't it wonderful to know that all of your past in the mind of God has just been deleted? To be remembered no more, the Bible said. Thank the Lord. Christy Myers, Jessica Myers, Chevy Chavez. Chevy is what her nickname is. Shane, if you're in the building. And Bryant, we are so excited for you guys. And we are just pumped and elated that y'all made a choice today to be baptized. In the beautiful name of Jesus, everybody clap your hands and let's celebrate. I think we ought to stand to our feet and celebrate. Amen. What a great time. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Remain standing. We want to go to the word of the Lord today. I'm anxious to bring to you today what I believe God has given me for this service. I want everybody here today to be open to the moving of God's presence. And if you would like to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost today, evidence of speaking in other tongues can happen before you leave here today. Anybody, everybody, if you will listen to what I'm about to say to you, if you will manifest that, if you will make this your heartbeat, your mindset, you'll leave here full of the baptism of the Holy Ghost here today. Mark chapter 8, verse 15. And he, Jesus, charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. When Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, why reason ye because you have no bread? Perceive ye not, yet neither understand. Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see not. Having ears, hear not. And do not ye remember? When I break the five loaves among the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments did you take up? And they said unto him, 12. And he said, and when the 7 among the 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments did you take up? And they said, 7. He said unto them, how is it that you do not understand? Jesus is presenting here a reference to something he did physically, but he is applying a principle spiritually. That if you could understand what happened physically when Jesus fed the 5,000, then he can do something else along that line spiritually. And I want to tell everybody, and everybody in this building has been blessed in one way or another. Domestically, financially, however you want to say it, we've all been blessed. There's a spiritual application to blessing. It is called the Holy Ghost. Thank the Lord. If you've not received the Holy Ghost in a while, if it's been a minute, you can receive the Holy Ghost today. If you've never received it, you can receive it today. I want to preach today to you, and the title of this message is in the form of a question. Did you come expecting? I know of one person today that has literally come expecting a baby. The rest of us need to be expecting in much the same way, for a spiritual birth, a spiritual rebirth, to give birth to something life-giving, life-changing in the spirit realm, in the spirit of God. God bless you. You may be seated today. I know in our society, I, of course, live in it, but I talk to people, work with people almost every day, who have married themselves to the idea, to the doctrine, if you will, that it's just not possible for the rest of my life to work out. Does what you believe really work for you Going to ask Grace Church here today, does your faith in God really work for you? Bill Watterson said one time, I find my life is a lot easier the lower I keep my expectations. I believe Bill Watterson, who is a former American cartoonist and the author of the comic strip Calvin and Hobbes, described a lot of us in our relationship with God. We can be far more successful in our relationship with God if we keep our expectations real low. And I believe that is just a bag of bunk straight from the devil. I believe the Bible promises things. I believe the Bible can afford us things. I believe God can give us things that we can have just like that if we can step into this arena of expectation. And everybody said amen. Let me ask you today, have you ever heard of a woman having a baby without expecting first? Do we not come expecting anything because we don't need anything? Do we not expect anything because we feel like we have everything? We believe what we believe, but do we expect anything of what we believe? Expectation is always the birthplace for divine intervention. The reason our posture in church is the way it is because we don't always expect anything because we don't feel like we need anything. I want to submit to you today that a bad marriage to a lot of people is not a need that God can do anything with. A backslidden spouse to a lot of people is not a need that God can do a whole lot about. Bad finances is not a need that God can do anything with. Being jobless and having kids out of control and family out of control are not really needs that God can do anything with, and the list goes on and on. I want to say here in passing today, Jesus made it clear, you have not because you ask not. To most, needs are when the doctor says you have something horrible wrong with you or a horrible tragedy has happened. But even at that, people sometimes they want to be prayed for, but all they want is prayer. They don't want to be healed. I know people that want to be prayed for often, but they don't want healing because if they got healing, they wouldn't get all the attention they get from being sick. I want to say to you today that every time I come to church, I tell the praise team, the platform staff in the back, virtually every Sunday before we walk out of here, and to them it's probably cliched and all of that, but I'm expecting something to happen here today. I expect something to happen in church here today. Every time I come to church, I expect amazing things to happen. Not always in my life, but yours. I expect your lives to continue to get better and improve on every level. And no one knows the heartbreak when I see your lives never changing or getting worse instead of better. I can only imagine then how God must feel. What could and what would God do if we expected something to happen to us, for us, every time we walked in the house of God? I was reflecting on this message, and the memory just came back to my mind. It was one Sunday morning. I believe it was before COVID. I know it was before COVID. We had music practice. Before Sunday school started, just music practice. They were just going through the worship list for that Sunday. I don't know what all happened. I don't think I ever got a clear story on what all happened. But while the praise team was practicing music, Heston Budge here today decided, today is right now, I expect that God could fill me with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And right when music practice was ending, he walked up here to his dad. They started praying with him. And just in a few moments, he started speaking in another tongue as God filled him up with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. expectations. It's expecting. It's expecting. Everybody say expecting. If we have faith, we need to couple with that. We need to couple to that expectancy. I believe that God will back up his word. You do not have to feel it or even understand it. All of us are being held hostage by our lack of understanding. Perception can be two things. It can be a prison or it can be a pathway. It's how you perceive things or how you see things. Webster says that expectation means looking forward to something, a future event, anticipating something to occur, which causes a considerable degree of confidence. It's the bride on her wedding day. It's the bride a week before her wedding. It's a bride 3 months before her wedding. She is expecting on that day to be married, and she shows up with expectation. I preached to you a couple of Sundays ago about the woman with the issue of blood that lived during the time of Christ. The Bible said she had spent all of her substance. She had spent all of her living. She spent everything she had on physicians, and nobody could help her. And she determined, if I could just but touch the hem of his garment, I'll be okay. So she was weak, and she was desperate. And it wasn't because she had great faith, but she didn't necessarily understand how the essence of God could get into a piece of fabric that he was wearing. She thought that if I expect it to happen, then it will when I touch his garment. Listen to Pastor today. Express truth is not enough. We must experience what we declare. And I want to remind most of everybody here today, there came a time in your life when you were without the power of God in your life, but it came that time that you were filled up with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If God can do that, then he can do anything else in your life. Oh, yes, he can. Oh, yes, he can. I want to say something to you today that may sound a little surprising. Do you know that the promises of God, some close to 7,000 of them in the Bible, are insufficient in and of themselves? I very rarely do this, but I'm about to work up a sweat. Thank you. I came expecting today. I've come expecting today. The promises of God are insufficient in and of themselves. For the promise of God to work, it needs a receptacle. Right. Yes. Y'all understand that? There needs to be something on the other side. I believe one of the greatest fulfillments God experiences every day is when he fills somebody up with the Holy Ghost, when he causes someone to be born again. That promise is insufficient until somebody comes expecting and says, God, I want this great experience of the Holy Ghost. I want it for myself. I want to tell you, until man sinned, the vast majority of the things we know about God, no man ever knew, because God never had the occasion to manifest it. He wasn't a redeemer until man sinned. Prior to that, he didn't need to be one. I think you understand what I'm saying. The promises of God, the things that he wants to do, the things that he wills to do, needs a receptacle. He needs somebody to receive his promise so it can be fulfilled. The fulfillment of his promises is in our hands. Either we expect them to happen or they don't happen. The promise of God is in our hands. Either we expect them to happen or they don't happen. Either they are fulfilled in us or they never come to pass. Listen to Pastor. Israel, that you hear so much in the news about today. It was a nation born in a day. Who ever heard such a thing? God said he would cause a nation to be born in a day, and he did. That night they were delivered from Egypt. Some 1 million or more walked out of Egypt. Free people, free people, free people. The Bible said, because of the mighty hand of God, for God to bring that miracle to pass, he needed that 1 million plus people to receive it and expect it before it would ever happen. Oh my. Watch this. Has anybody here today ever known an expectant mother? Most everybody has. I don't know why y'all are so quiet. I'm not spinning some kind of web that I'm going to trap you in later. Has anybody ever known of an expectant mother? Well, that's better, but some people here aren't telling the truth. I know you know expectant mothers. You just won't say it for some reason. I'm saying this in all due respect, and I'm not saying it to be humorous, but expectant mothers walk differently. They waddle. Expectant mothers eat differently. They crave the most bizarre things like pickles and ice cream. I drove to Lake Charles with Sister Murphy in our car to buy her a particular brand of pickles that she was craving when we were expecting our first child. Expectant mothers live different. They look different. There are things that they don't do. There's places they don't go. Why? Because something on the inside of them says, I'm going to give birth to something. And she knows that it's going to be a baby. And she will do whatever it takes to bring to birth what is on the inside of her, because she is expecting. Hallelujah. Are y'all just too tired to pick your hands up a little bit and just do that? Y'all already tired? We got a ways to go yet. Y'all need to get going here today. It's too tired to pick your hands up and put them together. You listen to Pastor today. She's expecting, and she doesn't know if it's healthy or not. She doesn't know exactly what its weight and length is going to be. She don't know exactly the hair color and the eye color and who in the family the baby is going to look like. And for 9 months, these expectant mothers' lives are lived in certain ways, not even knowing exactly what they're going to give birth to. I wonder what God could do if we could just start living like we're expecting God to birth something through us. Expectancy. You say, well, I believe if you do, you're going to look like it. If you do, you're going to walk like it. If you do, you're going to act like it. If you do, you're going to live your life like you believe it, like expectant mothers do. There's a whole lot of merit in what I'm presenting. I'll remind you again of what Jesus said. You have not. You believe it. You believe it. He was talking to people that believed it. He was talking to Jewish people that believed this stuff for years, all of their life. They believed it. Their parents believed it. Their grandparents believed it. On and on and on, back in the family, they believed it. They believed it. But he said, bottom line, you can believe all you want. But sooner or later, your faith will manifest itself in something. Yes, it will. Again, every time I show up at this church for service, I'm expecting God to show up, to show off, and to show out. You say, well, what about Wednesday night, Pastor? I'm glad you ask. Figuratively speaking, you didn't say nothing. Anyway, I remember one Wednesday night when we were in Baker. I'll never forget it. There was a lady that came. She was a sweet lady. She came church faithfully. She never didn't say much to anybody about anything. And one Wednesday night, she walked up to the front. She walked right over here on this side of the pulpit and said, I want to be prayed for. And I said, okay, I got the oil out. And I prayed for her. I didn't just go through the motions. I prayed. She asked for prayer, and I prayed for her. When I got done, I was just walking over to put the oil back under the pulpit. And she screamed. It scared me to death. Church was over. It was relatively quiet in the building. This woman screamed like she was being attacked by somebody. And I looked at her and I said, "What is the matter?" She said, "I can see." Okay, that didn't bother you too much or get you going too much, but buddy, it lit her up like the proverbial Christmas tree. I wonder what Jonathan Adams would do in the media booth if God just all of a sudden touched his ear, both of his ears, so he could hear naturally out of his ears. I wonder what you would do if that happened. I wonder what would happen if somebody got out of their wheelchair this morning. You know why? You know why it can happen sometimes? It's because we don't think it can. We don't believe it can. But I submit to you that Dave spoke to me in the name of Jesus for his due season. And we're in that season for God to pour out his spirit and for things to happen that you never believed could happen. I'm preaching to somebody this morning. If you believe it, if you expect it, we need to act like it. Everybody stand and clap your hands to the Lord. Everybody stand up and clap your hands to Jesus. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Thank you, and you may be seated. I remember when Sister Murph had Marcus. He weighed 8 pounds and 14 ounces. And Sister Murphy, I didn't relate to all this too much. But about 3 or 4 weeks before he was born, she just started complaining. Her back hurt. And I'm having a hard time breathing. I can't eat very much. And I can't lay down and I can't get comfortable. And I thought, well, dear me, we planned this whole thing. And I mean, if it's going to be this bad, you know, I don't know what else to say here. It's as far as I'll go with that conversation. I do remember this. When she finally went to the hospital in labor, I didn't know what to do. I was in my early 20s expecting our first baby, and I wanted to be the kind, gentle, understanding, compassionate husband. So I was in the labor room with her, of course, and she was, I'm telling you, there was noises came out of her mouth. I just didn't think it was possible. I'm kind of freaking out here a little bit. And so I just took a wet rag and wet it with some warm water and just dabbed her forehead a little bit. I know what to do. And she said, "Don't touch me." Oh my God. Whew. I walked out in the hall and her mother was standing there and I said, "She needs you in there. That's the truth." I ran out of solutions. But she reached a point that she was ready for that she has been expecting for months to come out of her. Y'all don't understand me. I'm sorry. I'm preaching way too far ahead. And I thought Marcus was an experience. But when Casey came along, of course, there was some handwriting on the wall. There was an omen and all of that applied to what we were getting. Before Casey was born, Sister Murphy had to be propped up. I had to put pillows under her. Put it under here. Put it under here. She looked like a zombie laying in the bed, trying to get some sleep. And I remember her saying, "I'll be so glad when this baby is born." And I'm at that point right now in the spirit realm. Grace Church has been in labor for a long time. And a wet wash rag on the forehead ain't working for me no more. I need for God to intervene. I'm ready for this church to give birth to something in the spirit world that goes beyond. I submit to this to you in the name of Jesus. For in due season, for in due season, for in due season, you'll reap if you faint not. I'm not weary in well-doing, but I'm ready for our church to give birth to a revival like we've never seen. Everybody clap your hands and shout yes. God, I feel the Holy Ghost. in a faith-based relationship with God. After a while, you reach a point where you refuse for the natural to hold the supernatural hostage. It just has to come out. It has to be born. The spirit that inspired the printed pages of the Holy Bible is the true, real power. It's not the page. It's not the words and the ink and the letters. They will do nothing of themselves. You must take that word and ingest it and be intimate with Jesus, not just his word, but through the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm preaching to somebody right now. There's somebody right now, if you'll receive the Holy Ghost today, you'll give birth to something in your life that you never dreamed possible. I say it in the name of Jesus. I prophesy it in the name of Jesus. God didn't show up here today to play. He didn't just show up to make you feel good. He came today to give you peace. He came to give you hope. He came to give you a life like you've never lived. I preach in Jesus' name. Whew. I think everybody needs to do what I just did. Just ball your fist up and just give a good wave in the air and just go, whoo. See, it feels good, don't it? Instead of just sitting there like this, staring straight ahead, it feels good. See, I did weave a little web right there. I apologize. But it feels good to just express yourself and say, God, I believe this. I haven't felt this kind of something in a while. It's been a minute since I've understood this. It's been a minute since this has gone into my head. But he's right. The preacher's right. When I expect God to do things, it's when he does the most for me. Do you think being a person of expectation is weird? I don't. Doctors expect patients to get better and surgeries to be successful. They expect that to happen. The mechanic that works on your car expects that when he's done, it's going to run better. People who invest their money expect their money to grow. When we come to church and expect nothing, you leave like you came. There's people here today that expect more out of their employer than they do God. What do we expect? What we do expect when we come to church is our kind of music. And we expect the pastor to preach and make us feel better. But we personally do not really expect anything more. What could happen if you expected Jesus to walk down your aisle right now and heal your body? What would happen if you expected Jesus to walk down your aisle right now and heal your marriage? What would happen if you expected Jesus to walk down your aisle right now and perform a miracle in your finances? What would happen if you expected Jesus to walk down your aisle right now and begin to convict your backslidden spouse wherever there may be right now? We say we believe that he is the healer of all diseases and the master of all devils, the king of all miracles and provision. Then why do we only come to hear and not really expect anything? Anybody come expecting anything today? I did. Paul said, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I'm not going to have time to finish today. Sit down. I'm going to go ahead and put out landing gear. I'm not done, but I'm going to go ahead and put that landing gear out. Let me tell you, let me be a little intimate with you, what my expectations are in my relationship with God. When I pray and say Jesus, everybody say Jesus. Jesus. I'd love to put that little video clip on the screen that we got this week of Avery Henson playing the drums. How old is Avery? Two. He was playing on his drums, singing, "In the name of Jesus, there's healing. In the name of Jesus, there's power." And then he went on to say, "Jesus. Da, 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 Jesus." Song our praise team sings here. Something shot through me. I knew what I was preaching today. Something ran through me when he said that. When I say that, this is how I take it. When I say Jesus, he says, "That's Glenn Murphy." Okay, I'm sorry. Y'all didn't hear what I just said. When I say Jesus, he don't get me confused with Ethan Cooper and Wayne Cooper and all the other Coopers. There's a bunch of them here today. He don't get me confused with April. He don't get me confused with Brother James. When I speak his name, he knows my voice. And he says, "Let me go see what's up with him. I want to hear what he's got to say today." You may be seated one more time. I want to tell all you sweet people that were just baptized, when you call his name, he knows who you are. He's known you since you were born, but he really got to know you a little while ago, because he took all of your sin. Everything you've ever done, everything. And he hit the delete button. That's Bible. He will take your sin, the Bible said, and cast them away from you as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered anymore. So, when you call his name, when you call his name, he knows who you are. Expectation is the birthplace for the miraculous. Did anybody come expecting? What you've just heard is biblical. The Bible teaches someone give a message, an unknown tongue, and then interpret that message. That just came from Jesus. That just came from Jesus. And somebody here today needs to pay attention to it. He wants you to come to him, no matter who you are, no matter what your past has been like. He's just giving you a personal invitation to come. I'm going to ask right now that nobody leave the building unless it's a dire emergency. Please, everybody just stay in the building. Stand if you will. I want to share a testimony this morning. I'm doing this with permission that we got from Brandy. I'm going to read it like she sent it. She had reached out to several people at Grace Church, best friend, I believe it's a lady that she works with. She said, I got a call Tuesday night to get to the hospital first thing Wednesday morning. This is this past week. To tell my best friend goodbye. She said, Greeley and I prayed before they went to bed for the will of God to be done. She said, Wednesday morning, I woke, stirred in my spirit with a directive from God not to say goodbye and to pray for a miracle. We were among the first of the first four to get to the neuro ICU. She said, I was grateful for the time to pray. She said, I prayed and safety pinned a prayer cloth that I have had in my wallet for a long time. She said, I pinned that to this person's hospital gown. I told God, I believe you for a miracle, and I'm asking for one, but I understand that your will be done. She said, after that, I began to help her eldest daughter from gathering financial information to talking through custody paperwork at a courthouse and law office, and then finally began to plan for this person's funeral. Late Thursday night, she said, I went back to this person's room. I don't want to give her name. I went back to this person's room to be with her for what I thought was the last time I would see her breathing, and I still refused to say goodbye. Friday morning, there was a flag-raising ceremony to honor this lady's choice to donate all of her organs. After that was over, the family gathered for the hero walk, which is when the family walks behind the body being wheeled to the OR to harvest her organs. We couldn't be there, she said, because she was headed to Lake Charles for a youth rally, but she said, my heart was heavy, but I still prayed, Lord, it's not over until you say it's over. Just as we were leaving Watson, the youngest texted Greeley that this woman woke up on the way to take her off of life support to start removing her organs. She started giving everybody a thumbs up. Since that moment, they've turned off the vent and later removed the tube. She's breathing on her own. They're weaning her off of her oxygen. She's opening her eyes and squeezing hands on command. She said, the doctors are astonished and said, there is no medical explanation for what just happened. Even saying, went on to say, that this must be a miracle. It happened because somebody went expecting. I want to submit to somebody today. I've been in Pentecost all of my life. And I've seen miracles, I've witnessed them, I've been a part of it. I've oftentimes been the pastor that prayed and the miracle happened. I can't tell you every little detail of why and all of that and all of that, but I do know this, expectancy was a part of it. But I want to introduce to you another Bible concept. There were several people in the Bible that received a miracle that did not expect it to happen, that complained about the process through which it happened, and God did it anyway. So bottom line, it really doesn't matter. If you'll just give God a moment to spend some time with you, He can do something in your life here today that you never dreamed possible. Oh, yes, He can. Oh, God, I feel the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. I'm thinking of Naaman in the Old Testament that was consumed with leprosy and complained. His skin was full of leprosy, but he complained because of pride about getting in the muddy Jordan River for his deliverance and cleansing and healing. But in spite of him, God did it anyway. God resurrected Lazarus from the dead when his own two sisters, who were friends of Jesus, questioned Jesus' ability to raise him from the dead. I'm here to submit to somebody. I'm here to submit to somebody. If God can forgive you of your sins, if God can wash your sins away, if God can do blessing after blessing on a daily basis in your life, then why can't God step into your life and do the unimaginable, the unthinkable, the impossible? We just heard from God. You just heard the voice of God. And while the musicians are coming, I want everybody in this house today to open your heart and open your mind. There's people here today that have sought after things for months and years. God wants to bring that to pass right now. For in due season, you'll reap if you faint not. I know today there's people here today that would like to get your heart right with God. You can before you leave here. Just give God a moment to walk into your life, to get around you, to be in your presence. You be in his presence. Be a little bit intimate with him and see what happens. As they begin to play softly and begin to sing, I want everybody to just start gathering up. If you don't want to, you can stay right where you are. It's okay. But I'd like to invite everybody up around the front to give everybody here today an opportunity to receive something from God that you've never dreamed possible. Okay. If y'all will stop right where you are, the lady that Brandy knows that I just read the text, she's being moved out of ICU right now as we speak to a regular room. This past Thursday, y'all come on, she was being rolled to the OR to donate her organs so somebody else could have extra life. But that got interrupted because the miracle worker stepped in and said, you know what? I'm going to do something. I'm going to change. He can do it for you. Ministry team, help me right now. Grace Church, help me right now. I want somebody to be filled with the Holy Ghost right now. I want somebody to be healed right now. Y'all sing. Let's create an atmosphere of faith and confidence that God is going to work right now in this house. Come on, everybody. Everybody. Lift your face to heaven. Just lift your face to heaven. Lift your hands if you feel to. And invite the presence of God to come around you. Let the Lord have his way. Come on, somebody. Let the Lord have his way right now. In the name of Jesus.
They say these chains will never break. But they don't.